Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We are here today with another of these classic messages from Genesis, and here to be with us and part of it is Dick Taylor. Dick, welcome back.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be back.
Dick, we're going to hear more today about the corporate aspect of God's calling. I wonder if you would preface our life study today with some comments regarding Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, representing one corporate person in God's purpose.
It's quite interesting to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all put together, showing us one corporate man. With Abraham, you see a person who lives a life of faith. With Isaac, you see a person who lives a life of enjoyment. And with Jacob, you can see a person who has experienced transformation for the sake of the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Eventually, Jacob's name was Israel. El on the end means God. Means God has been added to this man. So the wonderful thing here is that you put these three together and you see what's on God's heart. God's eternal purpose is the main topic of the whole Bible. And that is that he wants to dispense himself and work himself into a corporate humanity for what purpose? So that he could be expressed. God is working himself into a corporate humanity so that he could be expressed through this humanity, because this is what is on his heart according to his eternal purpose, which he made in eternity past. So we see these three representing one corporate person in God's purpose.
Dick, thank you for that fellowship. Before we join Witness Lee, I'd like to mention again this book that we've talked about before, The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, written by Watchman Nee. And now with today's life study, here's Witness Lee.
Genesis gives us a record of mainly 9 great persons. When we come to the last 4, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, if we do have the light, we could see these 4 persons shouldn't be considered as 4 separate persons as far as the experience of life is concerned. As we have pointed out that with Abraham, you don't have the selection there, right? In his record, the first thing we have seen was the calling. He was called by God. But according to the New Testament revelation, the spiritual experience with us doesn't start from calling, but from God's selection. God firstly selected us. Then he predestinated us. Then fallingly, in time, he called us, right? So what is the purpose of God's calling? Most of the Christians today, they may say, well, we all became saved to have a happy life, that we may have peace, joy today, and tomorrow we'll be there in the heavens. But listen to this. No need to say what is recorded, revealed in Genesis. Even we use the keyword from the New Testament, we can see God's purpose in his selection, predestination, and calling clearly. What is this? Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says, we all have been chosen into sonship. We all have been destined into sonship to make us all the proper sons. And we are not the common sons, we are the royal sons. We are the kings to be. We have been predestinated unto this. Then, Romans 8, verses 28 and 29 say that whom God foreknew, God predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is God's purpose. God's purpose in selecting us, predestining us, and calling us is to make all of us his royal sons. That after the process of transformation, we all will be made king. Amen. You read Genesis chapter 1. You could see the purpose in God's creation of man. That is, man may have his image to express him. And man may have his dominion to represent him. The New Testament tells us that we all have been made, number one, priests, and number two, kings of God. As priests, we bear the image of God to express God. As kings, we have the dominion of God to represent God. Now, look at ourselves. We all would say, the more we look at ourselves, we don't believe we look like the sons of God. No need to say the kings of God. Look at me. I've been saved for years and years. Even tonight, I'm so poor. Praise the Lord. That you can realize you are so poor. That's good. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. You have to realize you are here under what? Under God's transformation.
Dick, this first portion today presented many wonderful items, but I'd like to ask you a question regarding the goal of our calling. When we preach the gospel, we often ask unbelievers why they are living and what's the meaning of life. But how about asking ourselves as believers, what is the goal of our calling? Is it to have joy and peace and go to heaven?
Actually, this is absolutely inadequate. A goal of our calling is to become transformed persons. That means persons who have not just made an outward change, but persons who have been saturated and permeated and reconstituted with Christ so that we could be those who express him and we could represent him with his dominion. The goal of our calling is not a place. The goal of our calling is a wonderful person. God's desire is that we would be brought into him and that he would be brought into us. Then God's purpose can be fulfilled because God could be expressed through us. We're saturated with him. God could be represented through us because also we're constituted with him. I was thinking of Ephesians 1 says he chose us in eternity past according to his mercy, and he predestinated us unto sonship. And this shows the goal of our calling is not a place, heaven. No, we do believe in heaven, but the goal of our calling is not heaven. The goal of our calling is sonship. This means we have been matured. We have been filled with Christ, and we've become just like him who is the firstborn son. The firstborn son expresses the father, and we become the many sons of God and the many brothers of our firstborn son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 is very clear that we would be conformed to his image. We'd be the many brothers that are identical to the firstborn son for the fulfillment of his purpose. So his calling is not just to go to heaven. The goal of his calling is sonship, that we would express him and represent him.
Dick, let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of this very nourishing life study.
You all know Genesis has 50 chapters. You have all together 25 and a half chapters for what? For Jacob. Under God's dealing. Under God's dealing. I tell you, everyone who is involved with Jacob, who is related to Jacob, eventually all became a means by God to deal with Jacob. His father was used by God. His mother was used by God. His brother Esau was used by God. His uncle Laban was used by God. His one wife, another, all the four wives like four knives. Used by God, plus 12 small helpers. And some female helpers to deal with this one person. All the time. I tell you, God used everyone involved related to Jacob to deal with this one man. Eventually, this man came out of the oven. Oh, he came out of the oven as what? At the Prince of God. Amen. For what purpose? Not for him to have a happy life. Peace and joy. If you say this, peace and joy, Jacob would say, no! I don't agree with you. In my whole life, I never had peace. Even my mother womb, I didn't have peace. God didn't put me at the first. I had to fight. I didn't have any peace. I cheated my brother a little bit. He tried to kill me. And then my mother helped me to run away to her brother Laban. And how Laban, my goodness, I am skillful. He's more than skillful. Peace? Don't have peace with me. In my whole life, I didn't have peace. Joy? No joy. Then Jacob, what did you have? What I had? Dealing. Dealing. All the time dealing. Because God's purpose is not for me to have peace or joy. To have a happy life. Eventually going to heaven. That is not God's purpose. God's purpose is to deal with this pitiful supplanter. To make this pitiful supplanter a prince of God.
Amen.
To bear his image,
yes.
To exercise his dominion.
Amen.
To express him among the human race and to represent him on this earth. This is God's goal with me. When you come to the end of Genesis, you can see Israel was exactly this kind of person. When he went down to Egypt, when he saw Pharaoh, he didn't say a word. He stretched out the hand and blessed Pharaoh. He bore the image of God, expressing God in a full way. And he was the one that had the dominion over the whole earth, representing God on this earth. So, at the end of this book, we can see God's goal.
Dick, you know, the Bible is quite a book. The divine revelation only affords a few verses to the matter of creation, but 25 chapters in dealing with God's dealing with Jacob.
That's right.
For his transformation. How about that?
That is something to take note of. You know, creation is wonderful, and we can see a lot of truth related to Genesis in the early chapters related to creation. But the focus of the entire creation of God is man. Man is the center of God's creation, and not just man, but man with his three parts, particularly with his spirit. According to Zechariah 12:1, God stretched forth the universe, the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and he formed the spirit of man within him. So humanity, that is God's chosen ones, are the focus of all of his work. So you got 25 chapters designated just related to Jacob, indicating that God's purpose is with man, and not just in a general way, but because man has become fallen, God needs to transform sinners into sons through a long life process called transformation. It's one thing to be justified by faith, enter into a little living in faith, and to enjoy the Lord some, but to be transformed is a lifelong matter. That's why the Lord, under his sovereignty, designated 25 chapters so that we would have a picture of a New Testament reality called transformation. Eventually, Jacob became Israel, which is Prince of God. He's royal, not only a son, but also royal to express God and to represent God on this earth. Isn't this wonderful? So these 25 chapters are not in vain. The focus is God's work in his people to make him his duplication for his expression and his dominion.
Dick, we had several really wonderful programs on creation, and we don't want to minimize that. But we also don't want to miss God's focus, do we?
No, we don't want to miss God's focus. And you know, 25 chapters, transformation, Brother Lee calls it, Jacob was put into the oven. Good cooking takes time.
Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study.
We all can see these three persons, three generations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, plus Joseph. They are not four separate ones. They are just four aspects of one complete experience in life. Abraham represents one aspect, Isaac another aspect, Jacob another aspect, and Joseph, later we will see, represents the reigning aspect of the transformed life.
Amen.
Jacob stands for the transformed life. In the transformed life, there's an aspect of ruling, reigning, the kingly aspect of a transformed life. According to the New Testament revelation, a believer firstly was chosen by God, not only before we were born, even before the foundation of the world. That was in eternity past. God has chosen us.
Amen.
Number one.
Amen.
The number two, God has predestinated us. Also in eternity past. But after we were born in time, God came to call us.
Amen.
So you have the calling following predestination. In the calling, we have received forgiveness, redemption, justification, and regeneration, and full salvation. But this is not all. Following this, we have to be transformed. Day by day, we are under the process of God's transformation. To make us what? To make us not only full in sonship, but full in kingship. We were born sons of God. Eventually, we all will be transformed into kings.
Amen.
We will be the kings.
Amen.
We are now the royal sons.
Amen.
And we are under God's transformation that we may be kings in the future.
Amen.
So the proper, the adequate, the complete experience in life should be from God's selection till our kingship. It's wonderful. Selection is something in eternity past, and kingship is something in eternity future. In the past, we were selected, and in the future, we will be kings.
Amen.
We all were chosen and predestinated in eternity past for the destiny to be the kings in eternity future.
Well, Dick, it was very easy to get impressed with this last portion. Actually, with this whole life study, selected, then called by God to become, first, as you mentioned, royal sons, but right, destined eventually to become reigning kings. Without passing through transformation, Dick, as Jacob did, how could we ever be qualified to become kings?
There's absolutely no way we could be qualified to be kings without passing through transformation. And transformation is wonderful when you see transformation in the context of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with Joseph. You know, with Abraham, you see the God's calling, being justified by faith, living a life by faith, and living in fellowship with the Lord. With Isaac, you see lots of enjoyment. With Jacob, you see a lot of dealing and a lot of transformation. And eventually, with Joseph, you see somebody transformed, uplifted, royal, even reigning. But you need to put all these together. Because if you just look at Jacob and you just think, well, my whole Christian life is going to be nothing but dealing, I quit. But no, our Christian life is not just dealing. Our Christian life involves God's calling, being justified by faith, living a life by faith, living in fellowship with the Lord, constant fellowship with Him, enjoying Him all the time. And yes, our whole life will be filled with dealings because all of us are natural. All of us are fallen. We're all like Jacob. He was a supplanter, a heel holder. He was a top trickster. And absolutely every one of us is just like him. In fact, we're just like Abraham. We're just like Isaac. We're just like Jacob. But the Lord wants to make us the transformed Jacob, which is Israel, and even the reigning Jacob, which is Joseph. So thank the Lord for 2 Corinthians 3:18. All of us believers, it says, are beholding and reflecting with an unveiled face the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into the same image as Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So right now, at this very moment, we have to say hallelujah for transformation. This is the way to become full, matured sons and reigning kings for the fulfillment of God's heart's desire.
We will be qualified to reign with Him if we'll stay in this process of transformation.
Amen.
Thank you, Dick.
You're welcome.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.